T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, normally in this segment, we do what we're watching. We're going to do that tomorrow. But the segment is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big winter sale through the month of January. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit goguida.com. All right, for 11 seasons, Trey Thomas more than ably held the left tackle spot for the Philadelphia Eagles. Three-time All-Pro, terrific player that helped this team get to 4 NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl, now runs the Pino's Palette in Cherry Hill. He joins us now. Trey, how are you today?
Oh, I'm fantastic, man. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you, Trey. To you.
All right.
I want to start with this, because you were, by nature, playing on a very good team, able to have a few of these meaningless games at the end of the year where I'm assuming you sat at the bench and watched whoever was your backup. How did Andy approach it, and how did you feel about taking that week off? Did you enjoy that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, any player, anytime you get a chance to just get a break, you know, you welcome it. And I know Big Red was one of the – that you know, he would rest us in games like this. If it was a game that really didn't matter, he would go ahead and sit us down. But, you know, in a situation where you had, like, Runyon would always play in these games because he had the streak that he was going with all the starts and everything. So this was the game that he would usually play in. But if Big Red came to me and said, hey, Trey, we're going to sit you on this game, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? Let's get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, I remember, Trey, I remember the year that you ultimately did go to the Super Bowl. You guys had everything wrapped up so early that you guys actually, most of the starters, with the exception of John, sat out the last two games, and then you had a bye week before you started to play, and the first game that was a home game against Minnesota. But there was a tremendous amount, and you probably heard a talk around town, man, these guys are going to be rusty. They just haven't played in so long. And you came out and you took care of business against Minnesota. Is that idea of rest versus rust, is that overrated in people's minds?
No, not at all. But I think also at the time, you know, Coach Reed didn't have a problem with putting the pads back on to make sure, like, hey, you know what, let's get a couple padded practices in just so that we can have the intensity that we need in practice to kind of get you ready. Because I think that that's one of the problems that you have when you have to rest guys, is that intensity kind of comes off a little bit, and you can't practice with the tempo that you really need to get you primed for a game.
Trey Thomas is our guest here on 94 WIP, and the teams that Trey played for had very solid offensive lines. Trey and John Runyon as the anchors, and they were generally very strong from left to right. I want to go over the guys on this line and just get a professional's, you know, 30-second to 45-second assessment of what we're seeing here. And let's start with the guy who's playing left tackle, Jordan Mailata. What do you see out of him, Trey?
I think he's been playing really well. You know, he has all the tools to be a dominant tackle in this game. I mean, with just his size, his temperament, he's starting to play a little bit more nastier in games, which I'm really glad to see. And, you know, he's just a talented individual. You know, he's really taken to this game, and especially the way Coach Stoutland works with him with his run game and everything, I think that he's really come on strong there. His protection has gotten better as well. He's starting to use his hands a little bit more and not bodying up against defensive ends, because that's when he usually has problems, is when he lets a guy get into his body and then now he's like, you know, it becomes a wrestling match instead of playing and using your length to kind of keep them at bay.
All right. How about Landon Dickerson?
I think that he's a really good young talent. You know, I think he has a temperament as well. You know, he's a guard, you know, someone that's going to be forceful. You know, he's gotten better with his game as well. And then he plays center, you know, so he understands protection. He understands the calls, and he's a good person because when you're at tackle, you're dependent on the call of the guard, you know, so you're always listening to it comes from the center. Then now it gets to the guard. You get your communication. Everything breaks down from there. So I think he's a good addition to kind of help and work with Jordan out there.
All right, let's talk about the legend, Jason Kelce.
I think he's just playing lights out. This is one of his better seasons, I think. You know, Kelce, in all rights, could, man, he could nail it in if he wanted to and just be like, you know what, I couldn't make that block or, you know, I couldn't get there. He's getting going out there and giving you every ounce, every play, every snap. And, I mean, he's a true leader out there, you know, and he's not afraid to show his feelings. You know, a lot of times with players, you try to kind of hide certain things or whatever, but he's okay with stepping out there and being the face of the team and showing his emotional side to the game, and I think guys have really taken to that, and they'll follow him to wherever.
All right, two more. Nate Herbig, who's been, because of injuries, has been the right guard.
He's been coming along, you know. Sorry. There are times that, you know, I think that Nate kind of gets in bad positions out there, but I think that he's been doing okay out there. You know, he's been solid. You know, what you need coming in, if you have some injuries out there, I think he stepped in and he's been solid out there. As long as you can keep running the ball and don't get in situations where you're in third and 15th and third and, you know, you stay ahead of the downs, I think Nate has been extremely serviceable.
And then finally, Lane Johnson.
I think Lane has been playing, like again, just like Kelce has been lights out. You know, I think Lane has definitely come on. His technique has been a lot better. He's been shooting his hands. He's getting off the ball really well. So I think Lane has been having an exceptional year.
You know, when you – and I know you follow this team and you watch them every week. What was your thinking this year when you saw Nick Sirianni make the shift that he made, you know, five, six games into the season when he said, you know what, we're – the strength of our team is our offensive line. We're just going to run the ball. We're just going to win the line of scrimmage and win the game there. And they're having weeks after weeks, like Trey, they're, you know, they're running the ball. They're 40 times a game. I mean, when you look back on your days with Andy, the way Andy's was calling plays, there are probably some times that you wish you could have run it 40 times, maybe like even once in a season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we never ran it. You know, I prefer run pass blocking myself as a left tackle. I prefer pass protection. But this team right now is all built around running the ball, you know, and they do it extremely well. And that's right up Coach Stout's alley, though, man, with running the ball, with the mate blocking and all of that, and all his combination blocks. That's right up Coach Stout's alley, you know. And then when you have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, when you can run those zone runs, because, I mean, you know, they're not doing anything that's magical or anything. I mean, it's all inside zone runs. And when you have an offense the way they have, and, you know, you can force – a defense to come out there and play nickel when they're going to give you four down linemen, only two linebackers, the rest of these secondary players. I mean, that plays into your wheelhouse. When you have those threats out there at the receiver, it forces you to go out there and you play nickel, you play dime, and then now you have the box the way you want it as an offensive line. So now it's all about combination blocks. And when you're running inside zone, outside zone, you're going to get two combination blocks, and then now that defensive end that's not blocked, well, now the quarterback can hold him with the option of being able to pull it. If he sees that defensive end comes crashing, then now he can pull that ball out of the quarterback, out of the running back's stomach, and then he can take off running outside. So this offense right now, in the way Jalen Hurts is playing, is just built around being able to run the ball and be successful.
You know, you were talking about Dickerson, and I agree with you. He has really come on. It took him, you know, he didn't even really have a training camp, and he kind of got, because of injury, he kind of got thrust right into the lineup there in week two. And he just got better by the week. You know, and he played center at Alabama, and when they drafted him, the idea was, well, they're drafting him to be Jason Kelce's successor. But I got to tell you, Trey, just watching the way he plays at left guard, I think he's found a home. I don't think I would move him. I think he's a guard, and I would leave him at guard because he just seems to be getting better and better.
Yeah, I think he does a really good job there, you know, and it only helps because I don't think Kelce is going to leave after this season. So, you know, you got at least another year with Kelce there at center, and then there you just take it from there. I think that the young man has been playing extremely well, and he has a good temperament for guard, and that's what you want. You need somebody that can create movement off the line, and then that's what he does. And then you got Jordan Mailata that can get right in his hip. You get a good combination block. He can work up to the second level, and then now we're off and running.
I love this line talk. So Trey, the team was 3-6. and they have won six of their last seven games, but they haven't beaten a team with a winning record. They benefited from the schedule the back half. How good are they? When you look at this team, what's your overall assessment?
I think this team is solid. I mean, they've been playing really well as of late. You know, sorry, my only question is right now, when you do give them this time off, if you're going to rest them, they've had some very slow starts over these past couple weeks. And if you rest them, you know, can you keep coming back towards the end? Can you keep waiting for that second quarter or that second half burst of energy that this team has been riding on? You know, but I think when you look at this team just overall, I think they are a talented group. You have some really good receivers out there. I think Jalen Hurts is a true leader out there on that field. And, you know, the defense is coming along.
You know, you touched on what I was going to ask you was the idea of the slow starts. Now it's been 5 weeks now, so it's not just like one game or two games. I mean, this is like five games now, and they've been able to come back and win, and they've got the winning streak going, and that's all fine. But you know, you get to the playoffs, and you know this: you get to the playoffs, you're going to be playing against really good competition, and you can't put yourself in that position where you're coming from Heisman every week. And when you watch them play now, and you see week after week, the other team scores first, they're three and out. Is it anything you could put your finger on? Is it philosophy? Is it play calling? Is it just a matter of poor execution? You know, when you watch them, what do you think is the reason that they're starting so slow?
It's just that intensity. You know, it's just like it takes them a while to get going, to get the juices going, you know, and that's just where the team is right now. And I don't know if it's, you know, if it's because of the way you're practicing or, you know, is it a leadership situation that's out there on the field? Like, what is it that gets you tonight where you just don't come out on fire? And what you see is that you just don't see at the beginning of the games that same burst of energy. Like, when you go back to, like, 2017 when they won the Super Bowl, like, that energy every game was there from the beginning of the game. You don't see the same type of jolt when that game starts with this group. And I think that you know, they just have to continue to – they're going to have to find that to get them going. And I don't know if it's something that you work in practice. Is it practice that's going to help you? Or is it a leadership thing that makes you where you like, all right, you know what? We have to come out on fire. We cannot wait. Because, you know, teams right now that when you get into the playoffs, you might not be able to come back.
All right, Trey Thomas, I want to do artwork and I want to drink wine. Where should I go?
You should definitely come to Pino's Palette, man, over in Cherry Hill. We paint, man. We paint a lot. You know, I was sitting up here working on the painting last night, man, just hanging out. Popped open
great.
A bottle of T.O.'s wine and just sat back and did a painting.
You're living the life.
Yeah, man, it's fun. It's relaxing and it helps me clear my mind, gets my mind off other things. So, yeah, man, come check us out.
I love it. Trey Thomas, thanks a ton. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, man. Y'all take care.
Thank you, Trey.
Be well.
I enjoyed working with him. He did.
He's good. Yeah, it was good when he was on the radio.
He was good on the radio. He did post game. He did pre and post game with us for 2 years, and I really liked working with him. He was, he showed up every week with a whole bunch of a stack of 3x5 index cards that he had been taking notes all week, watching film, and he came in with all these. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about this. He had, he didn't just come in with his hands in his pockets, you know, just, okay, when do we start? I mean, he had obviously prepared for those shows, and he was really, really good at it. It convinced me that if he really wanted to make a go of it in television, like NFL Network or something, he could do that.
He was a very sharp guy.
Very sharp.
And I just love line talk these days because the line is so good. I just love it. And one quick thing, I want to grab a call or two here, but whenever the Eagles are good, it seems to me, and you're the guy who wrote the Eagles Encyclopedia, you are the historian, that they have really good tackles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we have Mailata and Lane Johnson. In his day, we had Trey Thomas and John Runyon. Back in the Vermeil era, you had Sizemore and Stan Walters. I mean, it's the foundation. It's a huge part of the foundation of being good on offense.
Yes. Yes, it's true. And, you know, and back if nobody else remembers other than me, but back when they won the back-to-back world championships, they had two of the best tackles in football then.
All right, give me the names.
Al Wistert. who I think should be, he was the team captain and I think should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he's not in the Hall of Fame. Retired number. I thought he was
retired
in the
number,
okay.
But not in the pro. He's in the Eagles Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's not
in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the other tackle was a guy named Vic Sears. And they were the two best tackles in football. So you're right. I mean, you go through the history of this franchise. Whenever they were good, they were really good at the tackle positions.
Let's get Dennis up here. You're on with Ray and Glenn. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing, Ray?
All right.
I'm not in favor of them playing the starters tonight, but I'm definitely in favor of them trying to win the game with the backups.
Oh, those guys will be busting it. There's no question. They're not laying down. But
yeah,
I'm with you. I would not play the starters.
But what I really called for is I have a very funny, what I least think is a very funny Jerry Jones story. And when I heard Ray earlier say that he's known him for a long time, I would love to get validation that somebody's ever heard this. But this is early 80s. They were in a playoff game on a Sunday night. I had a few couples over to my house. And you know how Jerry used to head down when they were winning and he would celebrate in the sidelines? That used to annoy the heck out of me. Well, he had left the booth. He was on his way down, and they lost the game last minute. And he disappeared off the sidelines. So my party's kind of over, and some of my friends were still there. And don't ask me whatever made me do this, but I said, you know what? I'm going to call. So I called for information, and I said, I'd like the number for the Dallas Cowboys organization. I got it. And when I made the phone call, it asked you to put the first three digits of the person's last name. So I put in J-O-N, and I got into Jerry Jones' voicemail. And I ranted and left a message probably 3 minutes long, you know, probably called him a few names. And I'm saying, hey, what happened to you? You're usually on the sidelines jumping up and down. You weren't there, you know. But I just went on. And on Tuesday of that same week, you could no longer call that telephone number and get into his voicemail. So half of my friends believed me. The ones that were at the party believed me. But half of the friends I tell that story to, oh, yeah, you never got through. But, hey, we're talking early 80s when, you know, the voicemail.
Oh, I think it's very clever of you.
Yeah,
I admire it.
Ray said he's known him for a long time. I just was curious if Jerry ever mentioned some idiot calling him, leaving a message on his voicemail.
No, it never came up. I have interviewed Jerry many times over the years when I was at NFL Films, kind of coming at it from a neutral position. I wasn't coming at it as a Philadelphia fan, and I always found him to be. He's a really good storyteller. He's a very gracious guy.
He's gregarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the way that a snake can be gregarious.
I've never encountered a gregarious snake.
Well, you got to get around. 215-592-9494. Ray, coming up, a real treat. We always do Scheib Sports Week in Philadelphia. Scheib Sports Week in Philadelphia sports history. Normally, we do one highlight.
Mm-hmm.
I got three great moments for you.
Classics. And they're good.
Oh, they're good. Coming up next with Ray and Glenn on 94 WIP.
And if you are a serious Philadelphia sports fan, you need to check out my friends at Scheib Vintage Sports. They're your home for throwback Eagles apparel. Locally owned, Scheib carries name brands as well as original designs by Philadelphia artists. So if you're thinking about the 60 championship, you're thinking about the game against the Packers at Franklin Field, Tommy McDonald, Norm Van Brocklin, the Bounty Bowl, Kelly Green, all that wonderful stuff. The next time you need some new gear before an Eagles game or you're looking for that perfect gift, you can head over to Scheib Vintage Sports. Visit them at their showroom at 13th and Walnut in Center City or at scheibsports.com. And remember, you tell them that Ray sent you and you will get 15% off.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.